Good afternoon. Welcome to Community Focus. This is Friday, October the 24th. It's 2 p.m. This is when we like to address and inform you on things taking place in our community. A few things before we begin. If you look on your screen, I know if you're driving, you won't see this, but if you look on your screen in the left corner, you'll see a QR code. That QR code is if you want to make a donation to the station here. As you are keeping up with things taking place around the world, you may know that funds to PBS and other nonprofits were cut by the federal government. Our station, 103.7, was a victim of those cuts as well. So we are looking for additional financial support. If you've been blessed by the station, if you've been informed, if you've been helped by the station in any way, we try to be an asset to the community. We could certainly appreciate your financial support. So that QR code is in the upper left corner of the screen. Just grab your phone. You know how those work by now. We encourage you just to make a kind, generous donation to the station. All right. How about weather here in Muskegon? Things have changed, haven't they? Here's your forecast for the next week. Today, there's a low of 39, high of 50. Tomorrow's cloudy, low of 36, high of 52. The sun peaks out on Sunday, low 37, high of 56. Monday, low 36, high of 52. Tuesday, low of 39, high of 53. Wednesday, low 41, high of 51. And next Thursday, low of 41, high of 59. The fall weather is certainly here. Okay. Well, I know that I didn't say it in the intro, but again, this program is hosted by Gregory T. Roberts and myself. And as I tell you every week, Brother Gregory T. is off. You may have seen him out around town, but he is still recovering from some procedures he's had, and we're hoping to have him back soon. Miss you, Brother Gregory T. It's always better doing this with you, brother. So I always give you my top five, or my five list. So I was thinking about it today. I was going to do five Halloween costumes. I said, no, everybody does that. Then I said, top five candies. Like, no, everybody does that. How about top five worst candies to give out at Halloween? All right. This is going to help you keep from getting your house egged and your tree toilet paper. Number one, and I know this is going to be debatable, candy corn. I'm pro candy corn. My guest here is shaking her head. Yeah, but my niece and I have this argument every year, but some folks don't like candy corn. So number two, one of my movie favorites, actually, hot tamales. I can't believe it. I love hot tamales. So they're saying not a good one to give out Halloween. Number three, atomic fireballs. I'm flabbergasted. I love atomic fireballs. So number four, jawbreakers. Again, I can see that, you know, they make nice projectiles to throw at your home. Number five, Bitto honey. And again, those are cavity removers. So those are your top five. Interesting is I did research on the list. Brock's pumpkins make the list. Dots, Almond Joys, and Peeps. So those are candies to not give away on Halloween. So you have been warned and you've been advised. All right. Okay. We know you come to this program mainly to be informed in our community, and we love doing that. So I want to introduce you to our guest today, Marquette McDaniel. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Now, before we get into our what we're going to talk about today, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Marquette McDaniel. I'm 19 years old. I am a youth administrator facilitator for the gun violence prevention group, Muskegon Violence Prevention. I am in my sophomore year at Muskegon Community College, and I am just here to keep on being the community resource and finding out ways to improve the community.
Okay, so tell us about the organization Muskegon Violence Prevention.
Muskegon Violence Prevention was founded by the University of Michigan's Public Health Center, as well as Lauren Meldrum, who is my advisor. They started the program in June of 2022, and since then we have held Two learning exchanges with our Cross City Site program, the Trigger Project, located in Washington, D.C. We have held a public health prevention campaign. We have held community events. We've participated at different youth summits. And today we are getting ready to talk about our youth summit coming up.
Okay. So how long has the organization been in Muskegon?
For 2 years.
Two years? Okay. And it was started out of University of Michigan?
Yes.
And what was the purpose for starting this organization?
There is a major increase in gun violence within the community of Muskegon and Muskegon area homes. Therefore, they wanted to provide youth who were passionate about ending gun violence to give them the opportunity to have that chance on a higher scale level.
Okay. And so what drew you to this organization? You're from Muskegon, correct?
Yes.
So what drew you to this organization?
What drew me to this organization is I was finishing off my junior year of high school and I wanted to get some more leadership community activities. And when I had seen the group, at first I was really confused about what it was about because they had took us to camp during our first week.
Mm-hmm.
But since being in the group, I have found out that I really love public health and I'm very passionate about helping the community. So when I had the call to come and be here to end gun violence, it was just like, this is perfect for me.
Okay. Growing up here in Muskegon, are you aware of, you know, some of the gun violence incidents we've had in the community, and any of them touch you personally or you recall personally?
I'm aware of the gun violence in our community. I wouldn't say I've had anybody mm-hmm. too personally affected, but there has been school shootings from kids from my high school, older kids who have graduated, and just community members that I have been welcome to meeting.
Okay. And so this organization has been around for 2 years. So let me, how old are you? So 20, 21?
I'm 19. Actually.
Okay. Do people in your age group, when you talk about gun violence, is this something they care about, or is it just like, it's just another issue?
It really depends on where you go and find the kids.
Mm-hmm.
All of the kids in our youth group are between the ages of 14 and 19.
And let me say young adults instead of kids. That's a better, I'm old. Let's say young adults, okay?
It just really depends on where you look for the kids. Like I said, you know, we have kids from Muskegon Public Schools, MCC, Homeschool, West Michigan Christian, and they range from the ages of 14 and 19, and they are some of the most passionate young adults that I've seen called to this action, as well as our young adults that have young different minds in Washington, D.C.
Okay. And so you have an event coming up on Thursday, November the 13th. Tell us about the event that's taking place and what will be going on.
Thursday, November 13th, 2025, located at the Hilt Building, 425 West Western Avenue, MVP is going to be hosting their first youth summit. This is going to be an all-day conference for high school age youth to come and learn about gun violence prevention topics.
Okay. And so this event will be from 8:30 to 3:30. That's a long day. So what can people expect to take place on that day?
People can expect to come in and be served breakfast while watching the keynote speaker panel and then engage in a peer mediation skit. After that, we are going to move upstairs into the Hilt Building and we are going to have a community resource booth. Some of our feature partners will be Public Health, Access Health, Mediation, Restorative Services, Pathfinders, Gemini the Poet, and many more. After that, we will be catering in lunch from Country Cooking, which thank you so much for that as well. And then after that, we'll be having a few fun activities like a photo booth, a little talent show, and then we'll actually be doing a Kahoot so that we can give away some little merch that we have in goodie bags.
Okay, so it's a little serious, a little fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so who do you have any idea who will be the panelists?
So a few of the panelists would be me, myself, Big Rob from 103.7 The Beat, mm-hmm. Gemini the Poet, my coworker Yadira Tanoko, and my other coworker Tayana McCorder.
Okay, so I always ask people this question.
Mm-hmm.
You have this event. What is it you want? What would be a success to you at the end of the day when this event is over?
When this event is over, what would be a success to me is just to honestly see more kids try to sign up for our program, seeing more kids at our community events, or even just kind of seeing the topic have some more awareness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I could walk down the street and somebody could be like, hey, I went to your youth summit and I really like the information that I receive and I want to get interested in this work. How can I sign up for it? That would be a success.
Okay. Now you say the organization has how many youth are in the organization total?
We currently have 16 youth in our organization.
Okay. And so what kind of things do you all do on a regular basis?
On a regular basis, we meet on Wednesday and our meeting starts out with a little icebreaker. And, you know, we eat food, kind of just relax and unwind. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we go into our agenda. If we have an event like this coming up, then we sit there, we talk about the event, talk about the purpose of the event and what we want to see outcome from it. And then we plan that. But if we have something more laid back, like, oh, we see something in the news that we want to discuss, then we'll discuss that and then figure out a way where we can make a difference with that in our community.
Okay. Now, this event is taking place on a Thursday. Will students be able to leave school if they want to participate that day?
We will be providing excused absence of letters to any students who are coming.
Okay. So, I mean, this is a major event taking place, you know, at the Hilt Building downtown. So events like that don't happen without a lot of support,
yes,
a lot of sponsors. Who are some of the folks that are helping sponsor this event?
Mediation Restorative Services, Pathfinders Public Health, Access Health, Gemini the Poet, 103.7 The Beat, as well as Big Rob. We have volunteers from Muskegon High School, from Muskegon Heights High School. We have resource officers coming in. Orchard View's Early Education Center actually donated 40 students and 3 buses. That way we can have transportation for them as well. And then Country Cooking is doing our catering. And we're actually going to feature my coworker, Yadira Tinoco, Sweet Treats. They are called Tinoco Treats on Instagram. She has cookies, she has cakes, she has the cookie cups. It's very cheap, very affordable, and it actually tastes pretty well. And you guys should go and support.
Okay. So it sounds like you have a broad range of support. So you said a couple of busloads from another school are coming?
Yes.
Okay. So that sounds, do you know what all schools are going to participate?
So we're really trying to get kids from Muskegon, Muskegon Heights, Montessori, Orchard View, Reese Puffer. We might have a few MCC students there because me, my coworker, and then one of our youth actually attend there, and there are other high school students there who could come. So really just trying to reach all high schools in Muskegon County areas.
Okay, sounds good. You know, when we talk about this area, you know, again, it's not a small thing. How has your perspective changed from the time you joined the organization in terms of this whole area of youth violence?
My perspective has changed in the ways of me really finding a way to understand public health. When mm-hmm. I came into this program, my knowledge of public health was very limited, very, you know, word of mouth, very televised. But while doing the work with them and being a youth administrator, I have been able to really see the numbers, the charts, the demographic of what goes on in our community mm-hmm. and how heavily we are honestly affected by what goes on in our community.
Yeah. You know, when you say public, and I've interviewed folks from Hackley Hospital, Trinity Hospital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you say public health, and the first thing people think about is, you know, vaccines or colds or diseases, those kind of things. But when you think of one of the leading causes of death among young people being gun violence, then you got to think, you know, this is it's actually a public health issue.
Yes.
Or injuries from gun violence. And, you know, it does fall. You know, when we were having a discussion, I was like, I didn't necessarily categorize it that way, but it is, and that we can do things to reduce it and prevent it from the aspect of, you know, this affects the public health because, you know, whether you're murdered or injured, mm-hmm. you know, in the long term, it affects our health, affects our healthcare system. So I just thought that's an interesting approach. Now, what's you said it was started 2 years ago from U of M. Are they involved in advising your group or consultants from there,
so,
or advisors?
U of M is like our funding for the group. Mm-hmm. That's where we get our grant. That's where we get our money from. And they are kind of the foundation of the group.
Okay.
Now, things are in the matter of the program as in Muskegon Violence Prevention. We do the work. We do the outreach. We do the events. But they do have staff members like Lainey Rump and Dr. Brian Stork, who come down to our events. They sit in on our meetings. They help us push out community resources, and they also help us broadcast what we do with our work.
Okay. So you said this program is in one other community as well? Or did I misunderstand? The violence.
Oh, yes. Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., we have a sister program called the Trigger Project. They are a youth-led gun violence prevention group as well. They also have a subgroup called Young Different Minds, who they just recently came down to Michigan May 1st through May 4th to host a public health exchange with.
Okay. Now, so tell me again some of the other events that you all have participated in.
We had Community Conversations, which was our first big event that we did for the community June 12th. Mm-hmm. We participate in Muskegon High School and Muskegon Heights last day of school event.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Livability Lab every year.
Mm-hmm.
We participate in some of Pathfinder's events. They just recently had one, I want to say last month, and we had a booth there. I was spearheading that one.
Okay.
We were giving away merch and really just trying to let the community know, hey, we're a youth-led gun violence program. If you want to get joined, here's how you can get involved with us. And just trying to give them little pieces of merch. That way they will always have something to be like, hey, what's MVP? I want to know about MVP. Just really trying to make sure that we can get that name out there.
Okay. When you had back earlier, when you had the Community Conversations event, what happened there and what was the outcome of that event?
So for the Community Conversations, we had a panelist of five. Myself, Tayana McCoyer, Pamela Scott, Shauna Hunter, and I am so sorry because James Coffey. Okay, because I was going to say I cannot remember his name. But basically, that was just a way for us to open up discussion with the community. Like, hey, we're this community resource, and we always say we're here for the community. We want to help the community, but we want to hear from you guys how we can actually help you guys instead of just being like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to change that and we're going to improve this. What do you guys actually want from us to do? And that was actually a very well outcome. We had a few parents who had lost their childs to gun violence come and speak out. Mm-hmm. And they had told some very moving stories. We had Country Cooking catering for us again. We had Meisha Restored to Service out there, us, mm-hmm. Pathfinders Public Health, giving away community resources and little merch items. And then, you know, I'll say we had an outcome of maybe 50 community members, and that was actually very well for our first event, good. You know?
Good. If people are interested in the organization, how to contact somebody, how can they reach somebody with the organization?
So you can either go to everyvoiceconsultant@gmail.com and you can send your questions, your concerns, or inquiries there. Or we have an Instagram page at Muskegon Violence Prevention where you can text someone on there and be like, hey, I want to get involved with this group. What are the steps to do so?
Okay. In addition to, you said, I think 14 to 19 age group.
Yes.
Do you have other adults that work with the group or are part of the group as well?
So we have two graduate high school and getting ready to graduate college students, Heaven Bell Williams and Bryce Thompson. They were part of our group last year, and they will be our oldest members of the group at the age of 20.
Mm-hmm.
They only are not in the group anymore because they went to school out of state afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But they're our oldest members. We also have Kennedy Hennett from Washington, D.C. We have Maliha. We have Tia Bell. We have Ronnie Bell. We have Rosalind. Those are other adult partners that we have in Washington, D.C. And then for Muskegon, we have Lauren Meldrum. We have Dr. Brian Storick. We have Lainey Rump. We have Ed Boone. And then kind of like our community partners.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the time you've been gotten into this whole area more, what's one thing that it really stands out in your mind? Is like, this is something I just know that always stands out in your mind different than as you've gotten to know more about this whole area.
Really just how hypocritical people are about the topic of gun violence.
When you say that, what do you mean?
The community says, hey, we need to put an end to the gun violence and we need to stop killing each other. But then as the shootings break out, it's community members turning against community members. Mm-hmm. It's young youth adults that have access to these guns. It's 14-year-olds in music videos rapping about drugs and money and having sex, but they're the same ones being affected by this, you know, mm-hmm. and not to, you know, be that person who just tries to start anything, but it's just like, don't sit here and say, oh, gun violence needs to stop when you're encouraging the gun violence.
I see. So part of this, you know, public health call this epidemic is things in our culture. Again, like you said, are hypocritical. We say we want to stop gun violence, but we have guns. We encourage, you know, all these things that are counter to the idea of having, you know, reducing gun violence. You know, and again, I think I may have even spoken with Dr. Stork before, but a lot of things we can do to minimize the violence to gun. And we're not saying people shouldn't own guns. There's a lot of ways to responsibly own guns. But when we think of anything that you have in your home, whether it's medicines or pills or something, there's a way to do it responsibly.
Exactly.
So it's the same way with guns. There's a responsible way to have them in your home, and it's an irresponsible way. And part of reducing that crisis is to do it in a responsible way.
Which we actually did try to help in that responsible way of owning a gun in your house aspect at National Night Out August 5th at Muskegon High School, last day of school event, and at Muskegon Heights, last day of school event. Muskegon Violence Prevention and Trinity Health gave away over 300 gun safety locks. That way, if you do carry a gun in your house, you can at least have it locked up, even if you aren't necessarily going to put it in a lock box. But that way, if a child does get their hands on it, they can't just, you know, use it. They have to have that key. They have to have that access. They have to have that further step to be able to, like, withhold and use that gun. Therefore, even though it isn't just like, oh, we put a lock on the gun and now my home is 100% safe, it at least is a step to getting closer to making it a safe home.
Okay, good. Is the attitude of, I mean, I'm going to say this, not like, it's like an old fuddy-duddy. Is the attitude that we have to work on is just like everybody's got to have a gun and it's like cool, if that's a good word to use. Is it cool to have a gun on you? Is that sort of the attitude we're trying to address?
We're really trying to address gun safety.
Okay.
If you are going to carry a gun on you, we cannot stop you. You know, if you're carrying a gun, you probably feel unsafe. And, okay, you know, that's what makes you feel safer. We just don't want for somebody to be trying to carry around the gun and now you feel safe, but you're using that gun to take someone else's life. You're using that gun to take away someone else's safety.
Okay.
So it's just like, we just want to tell people, hey, there's been an increase in gun violence death in the past 2 years in this county alone.
How many?
I'm not going to lie.
I thought you said a number.
I'm so sorry.
That's fine. I thought you said a number. It's like, okay. But yeah, but again, one is too many.
Yes.
One is too many.
One is too many, and 50 is too much.
Yeah. It's again, and every time it happens, you know, we all shake our heads and we said that's a shame, but it's good to have an organization of young people that are saying we need to do something about this. So after you have the event coming up on the 15th, do you have some
13th?
My apologies, 13th. Do you have any other future events planned?
So following our youth summit, we actually would like to have a self-defense class that weekend where we're going to invite members from the local dojo downtown to come and teach you guys from 9 to 12 how to protect yourself in different types of situations. And then we will also be giving out certificates afterwards.
Okay.
We will also be hosting our third advisory circle this year in November. That is a chance for our community partners to come and sit down at a meeting with us, watch how we run things, and then we give them the opportunity to tell us how we can get involved with their program or how we can collab for future events.
Okay.
And then right now, our public health campaign is still going on, and that is with the University of Michigan and their public health center as well. Right now, we are collecting stories on how people have been affected by gun violence, whether they have been the perpetrator or the victim of it. And yeah, that will be available for you guys within the next few weeks, actually.
Do you find those, when people share those stories, they're really helpful in getting the message out?
It actually is. There was somebody who I had interviewed, which I'm going to keep their name discreet due to statutes of limitation. But it was really insightful to see how a person could have so much trauma, have all the cards stacked against them in life, and still make a positive impact for himself, his family, and for his community members. It was really inspiring to know, hey, you don't have to be stuck in the bottom. You don't have to be stuck in the bad. You can still make a positive out of this.
Oh, that's really good. Folks, the program is the Youth Summit. It's the Muskegon County High School Age Youth Summit. It's an all-day conference on Thursday, November the 13th from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It will be at the Hilt Building, downtown Muskegon, 425 West Western. There's going to be food, swag, a photo booth, an outstanding day of activities. And if you are a school-age student, they will provide letters of excuse. And it sounds like we have several schools already on board, so you shouldn't receive too much static if you're planning to attend. And again, how can folks reach your organization?
everyvoiceconsultant@gmail.com, and then you can locate us on Instagram at Muskegon Violence Prevention.
It's been a great having you here this afternoon, Ms. McDaniel. Anything that I have left out you want to make sure that we say before we close out?
Just keep being safe and keep on having a great day, and find a way to get involved with the community, because this is our home and we really need to take care of it if we want to be sustainable for the future.
All right, Muskegon, listen, there's not one of us that probably has not been touched by gun violence, and it gets multiplied when it's our youth involved. So instead of shaking your head and say this is a shame, encourage your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews that are school age to be a part of this event. We don't know it all, so it's a chance to share and to learn some from other people, share our stories and share our events. So let's commend these young people, not just for having the event, but let's encourage them and let's encourage for participation. Again, the Youth Summit, sponsored by Muskegon Violence Prevention, on Thursday, the 13th of November at 8:30 a.m. at the Hilt Building. Again, Ms. McDaniel, thank you so much for joining us, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with our next guest. Good afternoon, and welcome back to Community Focus. My next guest, I dare call him a friend of mine, a good brother, Pastor Huff. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
For folks that may not know you, introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised here in Muskegon. Attended Steele, Angel, Muskegon. Went to Grand Valley for a while, left Grand Valley, and lived in Grand Rapids for about 25 years. Over in Grand Rapids, I was an entrepreneur, was a director of a community center, the Sheldon Complex in Grand Rapids. Some people knew me through my entrepreneurship. I was actually a radio disc jockey at one time, and we had a lot of things going on, promotions and this, that, and the other. Uh-huh. And, you know, a lot of people there knew me as J Soul, which was my radio name. Uh-huh. And but still had that calling in me because, you know, we were here in Muskegon. We were, you know, the folks that went to church all the time.
Sure.
And so I grew up at Mount Zion Church of God in Christ under Superintendent George Martin Bennett.
Okay.
And that was always there. And that calling to the ministry, you know, I thought I was running from God, but actually I didn't realize running to him.
Okay.
But, and so then after a while, I came back to Muskegon after 25 years. Spent some time working in Muskegon Heights High School as a in-school suspension coordinator, and fell in love with the Tigers.
All right.
So I tell people I'm a big red with the heart of a tiger.
All right.
And started doing some public address work at Heights High School with all the sports teams, the band, and just about anything else, some cotillions, whatever you name. They put a mic in front of my mouth. And then I followed Coach Guy down to Muskegon.
Okay.
And doing some PA work for them for basketball. And in between there, you know, I got the call, and we planted Angel Community Church about 25 years ago. And Angel is a church plant of the Christian Reformed Church, which you would recognize probably as Calvin College, and the Reformed Church, which you'd recognize as Hope College.
Okay.
And as you know, my background was in, you know, Church of God in Christ. And so, you know, kind of bringing all them together, And it has been, you know, definitely an undeniable demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing how the Holy Spirit has worked over the past 25 years.
Okay. And we're here talking about you're celebrating 25 years of Angel Community Church.
Yep, 25. Yeah. I have to pinch myself and look okay. back. You know, where did the years go? You know, where did the years go? But it's been 25 years of service.
Okay. And the anniversary is this coming weekend.
Yes.
And what events will be taking place?
On Saturday, we'll be having our guest speaker will be the Reverend Dr. Bishop Ed Rocket from Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan.
Okay.
Dr. Rocket has joined us before for several anniversaries, but at that time he was a pastor in a church in Chicago.
Okay.
He's a Chicago native, but him and his congregation and his praise team will be there tomorrow, Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And we are looking forward to that. And then on Sunday at 3 o'clock, we'll be having the Reverend Dr. Tim Brown. Dr. Brown is the past president of Western Theological Seminary in Holland, Michigan, which is right there at Hope College. Mm-hmm. And Western is the seminary that I attended. Mm-hmm. And about 10 years, I was in seminary and graduated with my Master's of Divinity from Western Seminary. And Dr. Brown was our preaching professor and later on became the president. And I think people will be really blessed by hearing Dr. Brown. And I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed by him. Bishop Rocket, I call him the Rocket Man.
Okay. Yeah. So 25 years of the church, what, you know, you're, like you said, you're doing other things, you know, involved in other things. That call was there. What was the final thing that made you say, you know what, it's time to do this?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if it was one final thing. It was a combination of things. And even after I started, you know, I had my doubts, you know, I had my doubts because, you know, being born again, you're not born an adult. You know, you're born a child. And I had some ups and downs and some ins and outs. And I even questioned, you know, myself, you know, and, you know, why am I still here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was even some times when I tried to quit. You know, and I wanted to quit, like, no. You know, one thing I do is you don't play with God.
Yes.
And the Lord just kept reassuring me that, you know, I know your heart. Mm-hmm. I know your heart. And so I get, you know, one of the craziest things that really showed me that I was convinced when I started giving offerings.
Okay.
When I start tithing.
when
my money came around and you know, and I was going beyond tithes and offerings and you know, and didn't even think about it anymore. Yeah. And didn't do it for no, you know, gain or nothing like that, but just did it out of a commitment to what God has called me to.
Yeah. Now I think your journey is somewhat like mine. You started pastoring.
Yes.
And when did you decide to go back to school?
I started to pastor. I went back to school. I was probably in the ninth year.
Okay.
In the ninth year.
And what made you decide to do that?
What made me decide to do that, first of all, because in the two denominations that I've been called to, the majority, you know, 99% of the pastors, you know, one of the routes to being a pastor is undergrad and 4 years of 3 to 4 years of grad of seminary. Mm-hmm. And that was the route that others had taken. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make sure that if there was anything that I could do, you know, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be, you know, all that I could do to prepare myself and to make sure that I was prepared for what God has called me. And initially, I went to a class. I called it the GED, and I got a GED. But it was still a hunger in there. It was still a hunger in there. And I just think it was an unction of the Holy Spirit. Just, you know, kept telling me that, no, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And 10 years later, 10 years later.
A little blood, a little sweat, a little tears.
Yes, buddy, I'm telling you.
You know, when I went back to seminary, I was like, oh, one class a semester, that should be a piece of cake. I used to do 4 or 5 classes.
Right.
I forgot I didn't have a family and a home and notes and bills.
and job,
one class became a lot of work.
man, don't you know it? People don't know the work that comes along with a master's in divinity. It is definitely the most I don't know, difficult master, probably, you know, 94 to 96 credit hours, you mm-hmm. know, and those 94 to 96 credit hours,
hey,
you earn every last one of them, 300 to 400 pages of reading every week, new readings and writings. And, but the good thing about it was something that I was doing that I loved.
Yeah,
and it wasn't strenuous, but it had its times. It had its.
I quit every semester when they gave the syllabus out. That's what I quit.
Yeah.
I can't do this. You know,
like no, I'd always go to the back of the syllabus to see what the final paper was going to be. You know, them ones in the front, them little 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 page papers. You know, I'd go to the back to see what the final assignment was going to be. What 25 pages?
We can't do all of that. So how God gets us through that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I dare I say in our communities, it wasn't always encouraged to go back and, you know, get degrees in divinity and biblical studies and those things. And, you know, and if you did, some people sort of lorded them over people.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, you get this this knowledge from a seminary, and how we use that for everyday people.
A lot of it you don't.
True.
Lot of it you just don't. You know,
it's for us. It's for you.
A lot of it is group. For you. You know, yes. I give the analogy that I don't need to know everything my doctor knows.
There you go.
But I need him to know it.
Yes.
I need him to know it. And I think a lot of it is just because I need to know it. You know, as a pastor, I need to know it. I don't necessarily need to expound on it and try to teach everybody. You know, when I go to the doctor, I don't want him bringing out, you know, the chemistry charts and this, that, and the other, but I want him to know it.
That's a good
analogy. And so I think
good.
That's really a lot of it. It has to do with is that I need to know it.
Uh-huh.
And I need the discipline.
Mm.
The discipline, because what I got more out of seminary than anything was the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Was the discipline, you know, the perseverance, you know, you really have to persevere to go mm-hmm. through seminary. And, you know, so that's what I seen. But, you know, because a lot of it, you don't, you know, mm-hmm. you just really don't. You just, mm-hmm. you know, but you do, you know. You do. It's inside of you. Your mm-hmm. doctor knows some stuff just because he took that class and that class. And I don't even know if he realized it, but it's just it. He's like Prego sauce. It's in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, last week I had the opportunity to listen to a guy who's a classical pianist, mm-hmm. but he mixes in other genres of music,
mm-hmm.
You know, jazz, mm-hmm. hip hop, and funk. Mm-hmm. We talk about your church, Angel Community Church. We've got a church in the community, and you got this mix of CRC, RCA, which, mm-hmm. yet I had to be an adult to learn. There's even differences there. You
know,
I just thought they switched letters around. and then your church is in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about how you mix those together.
It can be challenging. Mm-hmm. It can be challenging, but what I found is that it's just like anything else. You just got to depend on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to depend on the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and you just got to trust God. Mm-hmm. And prayer has to be, you know, a vital part. Prayer has to be a vital part of what you do. And you just have to trust God, because to say that you got a formula for it, or I did it this way, or I did it that way, there is no way that you can say it outside of saying that I stayed before the Lord and still stay before the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look back and you can see some of the things, you know, that God has done and how he has done it. And you're like, Lord, I didn't know that I did that. You know, mm-hmm. you know, for example, I was looking the other day and going through some things and brought out some of my school papers. You ever do that?
I just saw a stack of them.
One from 2009. You know, I read some from 2009 and this one and that one. And I'm like, oh, boy, I know I'm saved. This right up there with the splitting of the Red Sea, Lord. I don't remember this. I don't remember. But really, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. And where I had the advantage of that, I was a pastor before I went to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood that you don't need seminary to be a pastor.
Yeah.
You need a calling and you need an anointing. It's mm-hmm. the anointing that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And because I was a pastor before I went to seminary, I understood that seminary was enhancing what I was doing, but it wasn't making me who I was. I was made that by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, I think one of the advantages, you know, I went to school when I was younger and older, is when I was older, mm-hmm. I knew what parts I wasn't going, I could put on the shelf after I get to school.
Yeah, yeah,
when you're younger, you don't know.
Yeah,
when the older, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this for the class, but I ain't going to need that.
I understand that one.
So 25, you look back on 25 years, and a friend of mine says, you know, if God had told you everything he's going to do in the next 25 years, you probably would have said, this ain't the job for me.
Come on.
but fortunately, he don't do it that way. Yes, he just say, trust him in your steps.
Yeah.
What's a couple things you said in 25 years as a pastor you've learned? It's just like, you know what? These are probably the best lessons I've learned as a pastor.
First, I've learned to stay humble. Mm-hmm. I've learned that you don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also learned that you don't have to know it all,
Amen.
That it's not a requirement to know it all.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that listening is one of the best tools that you have, that when you're not preaching, you need to be listening
mm-hmm.
and you need to listen to the people.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that it's the song they used to say, when nothing else would help, love lifted me,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to wait to nothing else to help. You can start with love, that, you know, you can start out with love.
Mm-hmm.
And that love does cover a multitude of faults.
Yeah.
And that people are out there, they're looking for love.
Yeah.
They're looking for love. They just been looking for it in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
But people are looking for love, and God is love.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the ministry is all about love.
Yeah.
And, you know, we called to do is love.
Yeah.
And if we just kind of let love lead the way, that, you know, it'll do it. But, you know, I definitely found that I make a lot of mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff that I wish I could take back. I wish I could take back.
People say, look, I'm sorry. Ooh, I told you that.
Yeah. You know, sometimes some stuff come out, you know, like, Lord, help me. Yeah.
Do you go back and listen to your sermons after you minister?
Very seldom.
Yeah.
It's like
some people do. It's like, I have a hard time.
Yeah, I find most pastors have a hard time.
Yeah,
most
pastors, so critical.
I'm so critical. I'm like, oh Lord, no. But I do on occasion, but for the most part, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you. I know people ask this question, it's like, I don't know, but I'm gonna ask you the toughest question I get from people.
Okay.
How do you come up with a sermon?
How do I come up with a sermon? Everything through prayer. You start with prayer.
Uh-huh.
You start with prayer.
Yeah.
You know, everything starts with prayer. And if your prayer life is your life, you know, if your prayer life is your life, you always think in sermon. You always, you know, everything's a sermon. You know, even as we speak right now,
mm-hmm.
there's a part in somewhere in the back of my head that's thinking sermon. But you start with the with prayer
mm-hmm.
and let the Holy Spirit lead you. You know, I've had times when I've come up with sermons and fell flat on my face, you know, and you realize that even after 25 years.
You ever read that one that's like, this is going to be a good one. And he's staring at you. And they're just like, I was a Saturday night special.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, Pastor, that was the best sermon. You like,
right. Yeah.
We always laugh about that. It's like,
you better believe it. You better believe it.
But that's how we know it's not us.
Yeah. That's when you know it's not. You always open to the Holy Spirit. And I think I'm more of a sticky note preacher.
Is that right?
You know, I have, you know, the capability to, you know, write out sermons, but I'm more of a sticky note, you know, bullet point, you know, and, you know, just wrestle with the text and pray over the text mm-hmm. and just keep, you know, and prayer prepares you for a lot of things.
Yes.
And, you know, when I say prayer, there are different steps in prayer. There's different understandings mm-hmm. of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just prayer, just, you know, presence, you know, prayer brings you in the presence of God.
Yes.
You know, when you're praying because you're in the presence of God. And after a while, you start praying, you go to a different level. And mm-hmm. prayer is just the presence of God, and not the presence in a way that you can describe it, but when a presence in a way that you thirst for it, and a presence in a way that you desired, and a presence that you know that it's just me and God. You know, my days begin 4:35 o'clock in the morning, you know, before everybody can get up, you know, and those in the community know that, you know, the lights are usually on at Angel, you know, in the sanctuary 4:35 o'clock in the morning. You know, that became kind of known within, you know, those within the area where we mm-hmm. live mm-hmm. because, you know, that becomes vital. I used to have a saying, I still do, that prayer is as vital as air.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when prayer becomes a presence, when it becomes a presence, it's not a prayer that you're asking necessarily, or, you know, most of my prayers, we have a saying at Angel, before I ask you for anything, we thank you for everything.
Amen.
You know, and when they become prayers of thanksgiving and adoration and praise, and then the Holy Spirit got a way of getting in there and say, let me in on this. And you start praying in the Spirit. And but that is, you know, for me, that's the key. It's just, you know, the prayer as relationship, as being in the presence,
mm-hmm.
being in the presence.
Yeah. Had a young lady here before you. I don't know if you heard any interview. talking about gun violence in Muskegon, mm-hmm. and part of history of your church, at times when gun violence has been really severe in the community, mm-hmm. You've opened your church as a space to sort of a safe haven, mm-hmm. a place to have dialogue. Mm-hmm. You've had opposing gang members mm-hmm. In your church for discussion mm-hmm. and prayer. It's not something to brag about, but, man, what a tremendous community service. Talk about that a little bit.
The first part is I don't consider it my church. Mm-hmm. It's God's church.
Yes.
You know, and I tell people, welcome to your Father's house. Mm-hmm. And because it's your Father, it's everybody's Father.
Yes.
And when you start to understand and not, you know, look at people as the world looks at people, well, we read in Romans 12, 12:2, be he no longer conformed to the ways mm-hmm. of this world, but be transformed mm-hmm. by a renewing of your mind. A renewed mind looks at things differently. Mm-hmm. A renewed okay. mind looks, as you know, from where God sees things. And I think, you know, a lot of times we don't understand that God is not a person, but he has he has feelings, he has attributes. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, you know, that poem that they got footprints in the sand.
Yes.
And when we get to the part where it says that, you know, that was when I carried you, and, you know, we get yes. all giddy-eyed when yeah. we see that one footprint uh-huh. in the sand. But do you know what made God get him giddy?
What's that?
When there's two footprints in the sand.
Okay.
See, because then that meant you walked with him.
Yes.
That meant that you were able to get away and you okay. were walking with him. And see, when you start to understand that, you know, I'm looking at it from God's eye. Mm-hmm. God was giddy when I was walking with him, when there mm-hmm. was two footprints. And so when I see these things that are going on in the community and this, that, and the other, I see God reaching out. He's not beating them up. He's not judging them. He don't care if they pants down to their ankles. You know, that's not what he's looking at. He's looking at the heart. And so when you start to see it through that, you don't see it, I guess, as the world sees it, because mm-hmm. you're not seeing it through the way the world sees it, you know, be conformed to the ways of the world. Mm-hmm. And so then it just becomes one of them things where you don't go get them. God sends them.
Yes.
You don't go get them. God mm-hmm. sends them. It's not nothing you did. God sends them to you. Mm-hmm. I had a situation, you know, in ministry sometimes, you know, you get folk. Only time they call you is when you need something. And you don't hear from them again till you need something. I had a situation like that happen to me one time. And, you know, I was pretty much okay with it. But, you know, some others that was, you know, concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, why, Pastor, why you keep running out there? They don't da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was talking to the Lord about it. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, do you know what them people must think of you? Mm-hmm. That when they down and they to their last and they in the corner. Mm-hmm. And they ain't got nowhere else to go. And they know they ain't called you. And they know they ain't been around you. But yet still, they call you. Mm-hmm. He said, do you know what they must think of you?
Yeah.
Hey, you need to think about that. Yeah. And then, you know, he told me after that, yeah. you don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. Because guess what? I'm the one told them to call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, they called me.
Uh-huh.
They called me first. See, because they don't pray to me either.
Yeah.
You know, they don't pray to me either. Just right. like they do you, they pray to you. And when they pray to me, guess what? I put you on their mind. I'm the one yeah. sent them to you. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to understand and you start to see it that, you know, and you start to see that I am a servant of the Lord, and you start to see that in situations like that, that God would consider his servant Job, mm-hmm. you know, that he would consider in a situation like that, you know, this mm-hmm. is what's going on in the community. This is how it happened. Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Who gonna take him in? Would you consider him my servant, Jeffrey? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I guess through that, I've never really seen it as anything else, you know, but just an opportunity to serve.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the anniversary coming up. You have the two speakers. Any other events taking place around the anniversary week?
No, just those two right there. We just had an event a couple of weeks ago. We had the Prayer Safari. Mm-hmm. Prayer Safari is a group of pastors from Africa. We had six different countries that were represented. And Africa understands now that they need to be sending missionaries to the United States.
And we had some from Korea come last year.
Oh, man, Korea.
We need them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
need them.
Oh, Korea, man. I've been to Korea a couple times. I've been to Korea a couple times, man. I've been to Prayer Mountain, and you know, we talk about early morning prayer. They pray 365 days a week, you know, 6-5 in the morning, all night on Friday night. I've spent the night and fasted and prayed at Prayer Mountain in Korea, but I've been to Korea three times. I've been to Korea, you know, as far as, you know, as prayer is concerned. I said, prayer's good. Don't get me started.
And it's universal.
It's, you know, universal.
Don't you speak the same language praying?
Yeah. I had that situation with a Korean brother. Mm-hmm. that I had met, and his mother was there. And you know how you see somebody that it just looked like they can pray? Mm-hmm. And she was an older lady. And I told man, look, Moses, have your mother pray for me. Uh-huh. And then he said, well, she doesn't speak English. And I told him, I said, I didn't tell her to pray to me. I told her to pray for me. I'm quite sure God understands Korean, you know. Uh-huh. We start to understand that. You know what else prayer is? It's budget friendly.
Okay.
You can get it. You can fit it in the budget.
You can work it in there.
You can fit it in the budget. When you ain't got a big budget, you can fit. See, prayer fits well into the budget.
All right.
You know, nobody gonna get upset. Prayer is budget friendly, Pastor.
Right. It's amazing. You know how many people you run into. You say, "Can I pray for it?" And I tell people, because when we teach people to pray, they're scared.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I say, you know what? Like, I could never be a salesman because the first no, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the number of people when you say, "Can I pray for you?" in the 90s, percent in the 90s,
close to 100.
And I know. Yeah. Again, I know people at church.
No.
People run into on the street. Right. I ain't been to church in years. Yeah. I don't know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe. But they were like, "Well, it can't hurt."
No. That's you right. I've seen that in the neighborhood. I tell you, another thing that works a lot of times too, if you go up to people and say, "Give me some love."
Mm.
Yeah. You know, that's what I used to do in the community. Yeah. You know, when I walk around, I not only have a church there, I live in the community. You know, I live right there. Mm. And when you're right there, and very seldom would I be turned down if I told somebody, "Give me some love." Mm. And you're right, prayer and love are powerful too.
Yeah. So, Pastor, I'm going to say this to you, and you take my instruction on this.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
I've changed my mind about something. You know, our church like to do a lot of outreaches, those kind of things. We always used to go gentle with people, but people need to be invited to services. They need to be invited to church. So we used to always be like, "Well, just how the outreach and, wherever you go is fine. But yeah, I want you to come to my church. I think you'll get something. It might not be the church for you, but if you ain't going to church somewhere, start here."
Yeah.
If it ain't the right place, I'll invite you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So this ain't in your nature necessarily. I know you a little bit, but I do want you to invite people to your church and to your anniversary event.
Well, I would like to take this time right now to invite everyone within the sound of my voice, to come out and celebrate with us, as we celebrate an undeniable demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We not celebrating angel. We celebrating God.
Right.
We celebrating what he has done. We celebrating his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his goodness. We're celebrating the things that, not only that he's done, but we're also celebrating what he's going to do. Because we live by hope, we celebrating the hope that we have. We have a hope that the world doesn't have, and so we're celebrating hope. And we do, kind of call ourselves Muskegon's Community Church. And it doesn't matter if you go to church somewhere, if you don't go to church at all, just come and, and just fellowship with one another. And that's tomorrow at 5:00 and Sunday at 3:00. And then, we have services on Saturday mornings. We have services on Saturday mornings at 10:30 now. We are at services. Our services are Saturday morning at 10:30. And people ask me why. Well, first of all, because the Holy Spirit told me. But then, there's some things. But one of the reasons could be we couldn't wait to Sunday. We wanted to get in there. So
get in there.
Like, I got to get, I just got off work Friday. I can't wait to get to church, yeah, we would really like you all to come and, spend some time with us. And if you spend some time at Angel over the past 25 years and Angel has been, a servant to you, we just want you to come in so that we can thank you, for allowing us to serve you, because I am thoroughly convinced, Pastor, that God's people are at their best when they're serving.
All right.
Yes. When they're serving.
Yes. Pastor Huff, if people want to reach you after they hear this program today, how can they get in touch with you?
You can give a church a call at 231-727-0567. 231-727-0567. If no one's there, just leave a message and we will get back with you as soon as possible.
All right. All right, folks. This is Pastor Jeffrey Huff, Angel Community Church, celebrating 25 years. Folks, before I close out today, real quickly, you may have seen the news. I try not to even do a whole lot of news anymore because everybody getting news. But there's a possibility they're going to discontinue SNAP benefits. Just for your edification, 67% of the families that receive SNAP benefits have children in them. 39% of the families that receive SNAP benefits either have older adults or disabled adults. 35% of the beneficiaries of SNAP benefits are working families. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. Should this happen come November 1, we're going to all have to find a way to help each other. The people in Washington don't want to help us. We'll have to find a way to help each other. Let's find a way to go out and be a blessing. Take care. We'll see you all next Friday.